KW Mobile.
1-8-8, good morning, young man.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing this morning?
A little bit behind. Trying to make up time because I got grandkids I got to take to school this morning.
It's 19 degrees outside this morning. A little bit cool.
Annette, humidity is kind of low. The bar is dropping too. Is that a nice thing?
At least it ain't snowing.
My dryer's dropping. That means the load's coming through. That means it might warm up, and when it does, they get a heck of a lot of it.
Like snow, Ed.
Kids would go ape over the snow. If I didn't have to be out here in it at night, I'd sit back on the porch and drink me a big cup of coffee and rock in my rocking chair and just sit there and listen to it snow and watch the birds eat the feed that I put up for them.
Pull a little glass of change, sit back, put your pedal to the metal, let it rip.
I'm worried about is these other idiots that don't know how to drive in the snow.
No, I think I should start a driving school in South Carolina. You know, I can't see. That won't scare me too much.
Did you get any of the parks on the air yesterday? I didn't get to get on yesterday afternoon. I had a house full.
To the website, there wasn't any on there. And I just started scrolling the bands. There wasn't too much activity. And so I just hung it up. I didn't make any contacts at all yesterday.
WWV in a different spot. If you don't find it, you'll know what the propagation is.
Just sitting around the fire with a cup of coffee and saying, I think I'm going to stay in the house and not go out to the shack today.
I've noticed they've been there at that same frequency 3 or 4 times.
Very unpredictable, especially in any sunspot activities.
When I get back taking the kids to school, I'll get on and see what I can stir up. We already got school buses out running.
Most of the parks that they activated seem to be in the east and the midwest, and they all going to be getting snow, and it's really cold, so it's probably got them inside in the shack and not out there at the parks.
Go on top of Table Rock and run up by the 80-foot antenna and just see where we can get.
Way to do it.
Pretty darn good from up there.
Let us do it.
Any trouble about that?
DOT Mobile.
You feeling?
Good morning. Missed you yesterday.
I'm getting there. I am not 100% yet, but making a little progress. Each night it kind of flares back up, but off to work we go.
For being sick if you go to work and you won't have to burn a vacation day.
I haven't missed any days yet, so I'm doing all right, just plugging through it.
One yesterday, while not playing, trying to make me mad, trying to get this big part of firewood across to pull the pan off. Realized I couldn't get the wheel, I still got the engine in the wheelbarrow. Now I got going around the campground, which wasn't mounted down, I forgot about it. And I said, can't get the wrong ball. We started pulling the cam out there and got hung up because the valve was in place. Now I gotta go back down there and pry the valve spring, put a quarter 20 nuts in it, pull the cam out, and try to turn the crankshaft to get the twister out. Oh man, I made a boo boo. I'm getting so darn angry because of what's going on around here. I did.
Peace here in Taylor's.
Fish up there in that area. I'm only about 12,000 elevation, about 1,000 feet above sea level. So it's probably about 20 degrees here. Yeah, you're probably up higher elevation than that, so you're probably a little colder.
Concord warmed up so to reach.
Don't you love it when you get in a truck that's cold like that? I hate that. I was go outside before I went to work. My mom and I went to work. I'd fire up the old piece of junk, old carbureted piece of junk I had. Had to hit, set the choke, crank it two or three times, and it get fired, and I go inside, turn the defrosters on, make a pot of coffee, and let the thing warm up for half an hour with the defrost on. Then I go back out, pop it off the high aisle, get in the car, we go to work.
Nowadays, somebody will steer your car when you jump back inside.
I did, and now we have to go to work. Because we drove down, we had a 1974 Powell one time. Such an ugly car. I got mad. I went to tech school once. I hated that car. So I left it in New Haven with the key. We just rolled down, and the keys in it, and ran for, and my mom and I went for lunch before I went to school. You know, when I came back, that thing was still there.
NAP. Come on in and join us. Name's Ed here.
More GFW.
Good morning, KK4POT. I'm actually going to hop out of here for just a second. I'll be back in a minute. Good morning, fellas. Phil back on this end. How you guys doing this morning? I normally kind of listen to you guys brag to you in there in the morning while I'm sitting here waiting to go into work. I figured I'd jump in this morning and say good morning and ask you if it's cold where you're at. I'm over here in Tacoma.
Come back in here anytime you want to. Join us every morning if you want to.
Yeah, just come on in here.
Sit here in the parking lot for about 30 minutes waiting on to open the doors, and I'll normally listen to you guys talking in the morning, so I thought, well, I'd jump in here this morning and say good morning and see how everything was going.
That's a call sign.
November 4, Kilo Bravo Charlie.
November 4, Kilo Bravo Charlie, is that correct?
November 4, Kilo Bravo Charlie.
Alright, I ran the 6-1 that one night. You want to hear a funny story a couple nights. And I'm trying to write the stuff down in Braille with a Braille writer, trying to keep straight. Oh, man. I had like 60 check-ins, but man, it was driving. I mean, I had guys trying to give me five calls at a time, finally got aggravated. I said, you know what, guys? No more of that. You're going to get a call one at a time, and finally got to the point where, unless they use a little sanity, I wouldn't recognize it.
You weren't getting a little confused there, were you?
I was trying to use a ball wire, no computer, with a microphone. Got one hand on a microphone trying to write two fingers. And it's like, you know, it's called consideration. I finally learned a long time ago when I run a net. Now, if I do run a net ever again, they're going to have the whole point of a net is not having chaos. And the whole point is, net control is the one that runs the frequency. And if there ever was an emergency, we want to make sure that everybody can use their head calmly and make common sense judgments.
I bet that does get a little confusing at times, trying to keep track of everything and trying to write it down fast. I don't think my brain would probably work that well either.
I'm trying to do it in Braille because I'm totally blind and trying to keep similarity to it. And, you know, I used to be better at it, but I probably if I practice, maybe one night they'll let me take it again. And I'll start getting a Braille and set up a better system and see if I can do it again one night.
All right, well, I've got the head in here. Get ready to start the day. I got a long drive to Atlanta, so I'm going to get in here and start getting ready, but to talk to you, and yeah, I'll jump in here sometime and say good morning and see how you guys are doing. So have a good day, everybody on the band, KN4K3. Tacoma, Georgia, I've got a drive to Atlanta today, so yeah, getting an early start.
Yeah, I forgot how far Tacoma is from Atlanta, about 80 miles maybe.
About 80 miles.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. Get on the road. A friend of mine, one time, we had to go to Atlanta, HRO, from Walden. It's 134 miles to Atlanta, I think, from here. Something like that. And I had to pick my mom. She said, you got to come back and meet Shannon, my daughter, my niece, at 4 o'clock. I said, so we left at 12. I said, we'll get back. We made round trip and take the transit and got back here by 4. My phone was moving.
So it's up there in Doraville, and it's a little over 2 hours from here. So, yeah, it'd be a good ways from you.
I don't know how fast we were going, but I think we're doing about 110.
Boy, somebody wanted to get to HRO really bad.
I'm involved in South Carolina, so it's a ride.
Well, you have yourself a good morning, and we'll catch you a little bit later on again for KBC Clear.
Okay, have a good day.
73, hope to get you in the morning.
73, have a good trip to Atlanta, KN4TFW.
Well, have a good one, KK4POT.
A long time. You guys probably been there before. I forgot how long it takes, but it's a ride.
I'll address Jim and then I'll send you that information. I gotta scan some information, some handouts that they gave out last night at the class and that, and get them over to you guys. Just some cheat sheets and some quick notes to help us with the class.
The parents of the math on those questions. These questions, the answers to the questions are, I gotta learn how to take those tests too. The answers to the questions are given in the questions. You just got there are multiple choices. The math is correct, but you got to think of which one makes more sense.
Much math on the actual test. I mean, there's a whole chapter on it, but the actual test doesn't have too many test questions on it like that.
What they used to do to me is, since I couldn't read the diagrams, they used to give me the hardest test as much math as I could.
We all need to take that test before the new cookbook comes out in July, because this book doesn't have any FT8 stuff or any of that new digital stuff on there, and I guess the new book's probably going to have a whole chapter on it, so all the questions will be different.
Everybody's forgetting with this digital crap is that it's not all it's cracked up to be, and you got to understand. You got to have both worlds. You got to use your brain. And the Federal Communications Commission has got their head in the toilet on this thing, and they're really going to find out when they implement this stuff. It's going to be 3 times as expensive as it'll be, and there's going to be a lot of snags because we don't live in Europe. We are all spread out, especially in the south. Our area, there's mountains, there's hills, there's dips. We're going to have to put 5 times more towers than they think we're going to have to, and even then, under certain conditions, it's not going to work.
Haven't used anything digital yet.
And I've been spots where it doesn't work, too.
The total opposite of everything I've experienced with it and all the people that I talk to about with it. But, yeah, okay.
Couple scenarios that you're going to understand. There's certain spots in certain areas really spread out, and you're going to need more towers to get the distance that you got to have because there's mountains in the way. And you can't, all that doesn't go over mountains, especially on high frequency stuff. It's a common sense rule, which people got to understand.
Right there. Maybe you could help them get all that mess straightened out then.
I don't know the whole answer to it, but I do know where I knew one of them. And one of them is you're going to have more antennas, and you're going to have to put 3 times as many towers. And the cost is going to be millions and millions of dollars. You need to use both systems is what you need to do.
Referring to more 2-meter type stuff, if you look at the HF side of stuff, it's a complete total polar opposite.
Yeah, HF can tolerate that, but that's right. That's why HF, but they're not using HF much. They're trying to stay away from that and using GPS and all kinds of other things, which they shouldn't do, especially in areas like this. The problem with HF is static and other things are a problem, although with noise-canceling antennas and proper procedures, it can be done.
Digital stuff is probably some of the most efficient and, frankly, fun stuff to use, but that's some interesting stuff you got going on.
To use both. The thing is this. For instance, in Alaska, when they had that earthquake, now most people don't even know about this, they used all solid-state MOSFET transmitters, and using vacuum tube files in them. And when the MOSFETs went into overload, the engineers couldn't get there to knock them on the resets. So every single transmitter and the whole HF, all the HF transmitters went out in the whole state, so they had no communications.
Redundancies is key to any type of emergency planning. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it be radio, medical, security, whatever. Redundancies is essential.
Yeah, I just ran a solar oxygen. I couldn't read the gauge on it, and I had to keep knocking a reset. And what happened was I set the level to the limit's too high, so the control circuitry shut it down. So now I got to get someone trying to help me with that. Now I got to go back and solve that problem. But I've been lucky because last year this time I was on 8 meters of oxygen when I did. Where I actually worked in the shop on oxygen, which is pretty scary working with oil and stuff with oxygen. Not very good thing to do.
Do any classes on that digital stuff? You know, when I had my stuff set up at my old house, that's what I mainly did was I was learning digital stuff, and I'm real big on QRP stuff because I like to conserve and see what I can do in a emergency type situation, and digital was the way to get out in QRP situations, but I'm still kind of new on a lot of the different modes on that. But did they offer a class on that?
I'm sure that some of the people in the Greer Club are pretty big into it, but I haven't really heard about a class coming up on any digital stuff. I didn't, and I don't have anything to work a digital, so I just been kind of just not laying low and really not learning anything about it.
Cool story about QRP stuff. I talk to some old timers. If you really want to learn about QRP stuff, you want to talk to a lot of old timers, the old CW guys, because I'm going to tell you the whole trick to it is. I'm going to tell you it again. The whole trick to the thing is build the most gain antenna that you can with the most efficient transfer you can. Make it work with as little power as you can. And then if you can do that, then you can build, if you can do your communication with under 200 watts or 150 watts under all conditions, that's what you want to do. A small QRP vacuum tube, little transmitter with a solid state driver when I get some time, and I'll put the diagram out there when I do it, let you guys hear it. It's going to be a single sideband and CW little transmitter, and it's going to be modulated by solid state modulator and everything, and a solid state sideband driver with a solid state driver stages. And you wait till you hear it.
Is that going on today? Anything good?
My brakes again.
Going on today myself. Just take the grandkids to school, come back, drink coffee, and get on HF.
HF, I miss it so bad.
Out of here, get this day rolling. Good to hear you guys. Hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll catch you soon, I guess. KK4 POT.
Have a good one, Tim. Glad you made it in safe. 7-3. Hopefully catch you in the morning.
7-3, Tim. Catch you in the morning. KN4 TFW.
I don't know if he's driving a truck or I must be driving a truck. Because then I don't want to drive that old Prius out there like this.
He'll be back Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday next week, he'll be back. My mistake.
Next Wednesday, okay. I get my Wednesdays mixed up.
You got over into the owner's manual on that radio where you can hook it up to the computer?
That part yet. I saw that you could, but I didn't know what it would get me plugging it up like that. Did you do it?
Negative. I got reading that and scratched my head. I said, nah, I'm happy the way it is.
What you can do with a 706 Mark II G, I don't even know. I don't even want to think about doing that.
A little bit old, but, it should be able to do most things. And last night they gave us a couple of websites that have free login information that'll upload to the logbook of the world. If you don't, you know, if you want to get awards for DXing and that, you'll have to be using that logbook of the world for them to recognize it.
None of my contacts ever recognize. I just did it for something to do. I should probably do that. I mean, I probably got 20 or 30 of them, but I never really turned it in because I never bothered to hear crap.
Do it for the fun of it, and I ain't worried about no awards.
Come that way.
Yeah, they charge you for the award so much per contact, and that depending on the award.
Sophie's sitting there on my refrigerator, it's kind of funny. It kind of was a joke, but it's kind of funny. I was at a race for blind people racing up in somewhere up in New York State. I finished seventh, but I didn't crash the car too bad, and I didn't cheat with my side driver too much. I didn't realize that I had to win the race, and I didn't want to wreck the car. You know what I mean? So I didn't, but I got a trophy. I had kind of fun, but I wish you could find a racetrack and get a bunch of blind guys and do it all over again.
Black ice from a sprinkler system working, squirting out on the road.
Talking that, because I'm going into a big subdivision now. I might run across some of that myself.
Drainage we had, they'd have turned them off, right?
Think about it.
First couple of months, we moved into this house, and when it started costing me an extra $100 to keep the grass green, it's like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'll do it. If I never saw grass anymore, I hate lawnmowers.
I learned in horticulture when I was in school was when you water it like that, the roots don't go down into the ground like it's supposed to, and they're more susceptible to drought and disease.
That works, so I'll tell you guys 73. Hope you have an awesome day. And Ed, I hope you make a lot of contacts after you get the grandkids to school, and hope to catch you guys back in the morning. KN4TFW.
Then say if you have a good one, don't work too hard, and I'll catch you in the morning.
It's pretty good. I don't know where you are. Your sales pretty stout.
We're in the big city of Clemson. I'm about 40, 45 miles from you. There's a crow's flies.
How long for a heater?
Much rough guessing.
Your sales really good. I mean, I don't even think I'm that far from here. I think I'm closer than that. I bet you I'm probably less than 30, 40 miles from here, I think. I don't remember. I'd look it up, and I don't think I'm very far away. But it's just until we get this antenna out of the house here and up on the tower or on the building or something. That repeater with 100 milliwatts.
175 watt due to the fact all the dips and hollows I have to go through.
Fine here with the antenna where I have right now, it's a real bad spot. There's a lot of, see, I'm in an area, there's a lot of things around me here. There's all kinds of Wi-Fi signals and all kinds of garbage that are causing troubles, you know, and I'm hoping I can get around it, you know, and that's the problem with HF too. I got power lines everywhere. I mean, I'm in one of the worst possible spots to put antennas that there is.
Get it straightened out.
Yeah, I think with you guys, we get together to do it. I've got a good plan. I know it's going to work. It's just going to be a little bit, I just need a little help physically doing it because I can't climb anymore. If you can climb, I just need someone that's got some sight to help me with the counterpoise. That's all. It's just going to be a little bit of, I'll get the material. I don't think it's really going to be that bad. And what we're going to do, we're going to tilt the tower right to the ground, put the guys on it. And what I think we're going to do is put snatch blocks on my deck when the deck's big, and snatch block it from the deck and pick it up with snatch blocks and a chainsaw or snatch blocks and a winch. And I'll anchor it. So I think that way it'll be real easy to take the tower up and guide it. Ready. Do you think maybe they had a pipe break instead of the spring? I mean, a pipe broke, so that's why I have water Turn around.
D for ID. You'll have to come back, Al. I was outside the truck.
I don't know. Well, hold on. Oh, man, I ain't me doing that. Ooh. I was going to say, it might have said sprinklers. It might have pipe broke. They might not have drained the system down when they shut it down and before the line might have broke somewhere. Pretty scary as all. You get water main breaks in this stuff sometimes. And what a mess. It takes the road right out.
You know, it happened a couple of times.
Well, I lived up in New Milford, up in Connecticut. We used to, the water lines were, my water line was buried 42 inches down below the surface. And I had to take down to it one day. And it was actually over 42 inches. They see, all through about 36, mine was 42. My grandfather was smart. He dug it way down when he did it.
Getting a little bit colder there, Al. I had to get back out of the truck. And the ground's crunching and everything else now. So it's getting winter time.
Be real careful with little ice spots. You know, I found without sight, it's even worse because you can't find it. I learned real quick, but first of all, I went outside, did a lot of playing around, and the ice is, I found the white cane is a very useful tool with the metal tip to slide. You can feel the ice with it.
Wind up slipping and falling on it.
I'm a real bad traveler in the snow because I was never really taught the right way to travel in the snow. And I found snow when I was living in Connecticut. One time we had 10 inches of snow, and I decided I was going to walk downtown and leave my body at the lawnmower shop. Well, that didn't work out real good. I got lost, got stuck behind by the railroad tracks. But because you got no landmarks in the snow, it's real deep.
Did you learn to stay home when it snows, huh?
Some other blind travelers were better at it than I was, and they didn't stay home, but they were, but I think if I'd used a better approach, I might have known. Yeah, the other problem was, the roads were so quiet, there was no cars out there, so you didn't, you know, if you didn't walk straight, you were done. Pretty funny one day, I was going down to work one day, and they had the road all torn up, heavy construction equipment all over, the whole road was torn up. And I said, Al, you know, if someone comes flying up this hill, I said, you're never going to be able to react to get out of this. You're going to get killed. So what I decided to do was, I didn't think anyone was around. What I did is I took my white cane, and I stayed right along the 50-foot drop. I stayed right with it all the way down the hill. And when my neighbor came, I said, she beeped her horn. I stopped her. I said, don't ever do that. I said, you know, so we're going over by that cliff. I said, I'm safer over there than over where you are. And no one could understand that.
Out directing traffic around wrecks when I had to work wrecks and almost getting hit several times.
Got killed one day, and good thing I had no electricity, I was careful. One day, we were going over to, I was going to work one morning, and there was a power truck, and I didn't know what the truck was about, so I'm trying to negotiate around this thing. I yell up to the guys, hey, you got this truck grounded? I said, if this man can't touch this truck, I said, I'm going to get fried. I said, just let me know. I'll try to get around and safe, but just let me know what you got. I said, because you don't know if the truck's grounded, you know what I mean? Because he's okay in the bucket, but if you don't ground that truck, and you take that cane, you hit that truck, and you're going to get lit up, because you're going to be right between the ground and the truck.
Multiple power lines.
I had no choice because I was walking down the street and I had to get around the truck and I had to know. Well, I asked the guy, you know, I said, you know, he said, yeah, you're okay. He goes, I got you ground. I said, okay. You know, but I asked him, you know, what's going on here? You know, so I knew where I was walking into.
What you doing?
Because the power line, when it's on the ground, when there's water on the ground, and it starts, the water's boiling, steaming, smoke, and you hear the sizzling and popping and fighting. Sparks flying, it's a scary thing to watch that. In law enforcement, you've probably been involved with quite a bit of people getting hurt. Nasty things happening with that.
Probably more than I want to remember.
There's no easy answer. Sometimes you get in a situation like that, there's not much you can do. I went to a machine shop one day. We had 14,000 about power lines one time by a machine shop. Some jerk walks in the shop. He touched the power company truck. I said, are you... The guy yelled down. I said, you're lucky that's car. You might get killed. You know what the idiot said? One of these guys gets a good kill Sunday. I told the guy, I said, you're just an idiot. You know, people like you will give people a bad name. It's like Larry Kelly, I goes, only in America.
Well, there's a lot of people out there like to play with that high voltage stuff, but not me.
It's one thing to do some high voltage if you're careful and know what you're doing. It's another thing to be stupid. The thing is, you know, there's no reason for being that stupid. I mean, come on. You know, and the thing is, you know, one, it's hard on the person working on a power if something ever does happen. You understand, you know, they all live with this kind of stuff, and they don't need to deal with that.
Hey, Friday. Well, Al, I'm about to finish up, and this old mule's going ahead to the barn, and I want baby about 4 or 5 minutes away from home, so, you have a good one, 7-3s to you, and hopefully catch you in the morning. KM4 and AP will be clear on your final.
Well, really, pretty much. I'd say, you know, yeah, no problem. I'll catch you in the morning. But I'm pretty much just cold. I'm pretty much staying inside of the V&E, waiting for the nurse, and just kind of kicking back and kind of... I might go out there to shop later. I don't know. We'll see. 7-3s.